And this is called Ponder the Path of Your Feet, and it's from Proverbs. You know, the Lord's had me in the book of Proverbs the last 2 years. I read it last year all the way through, not just reading it. I mean, I meditated it. I mean, I took books like these right here, and notebooks, and I started with chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. Well, let me look up the words on that. You reckon there's any kind of revelation in that? Well, I don't know. I'm going to look at it and see. And so, last year, I think it took 4 notebooks to go through it. That was 30 chapters. Really, that was pretty good. I'm already in about the fourth or fifth, and I'm on chapter 10. So that means this year. See, in other words, the Lord came back and said, I want you to do it again this year. Even though you did it last year and you got a lot of good things out of it. And it just puts you in a place when you do something like that, when you begin to camp around a certain area of Scripture, it just puts your life in a certain place. I don't know how to describe that. Sometimes spiritual things are hard to describe, but you can tell there's something different going on in your life, you know. And that's just what happens when you do that. And so, So I finished that last year, and then I went to somewhere else and started looking at some other things. I'm always trying to study something. You know, you ought to always be studying something from the Word. Amen. Find a message and study it, you know. If you can't find anything, look for it. The Lord will lead you to something. But anyway, this year the Lord said, I want you to do it. I was impressed to do that again, to start again at the beginning and go all the way through. And so right now I'm into chapter 10. That's as far as I've gotten this far. And it's been as rich for me this year. Actually, I've learned more this year than I did last year. I've gotten more out of it this year than I did last year, although last year was a lot. And so I've seen things I didn't see before. Now, I do understand that there are other books in the Bible besides Proverbs, okay? That's where the Lord has me right now. And I'm just going with it. When I get done with it, I'll go somewhere else. But anyway, you know, the book of Proverbs is the wisdom book. It's not the only book in the Bible, but it is the wisdom book. Okay? And, you know, and somebody says, well, you know, I'd love to meditate in the Word. I hear people talking about that, but where do I meditate at? Pray and ask God, and He'll tell you. You know, this is a faith walk. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. But anyway, what I've learned, one of the things I've learned about wisdom is that it's not arrived at overnight. It's not like, well, I'm going to start today and next week I'm going to have this thing wrapped up. No, it just doesn't work that way. It's a gradual process of study, meditation. It takes place over a long period of time. And so you got to have a little different perspective toward it. This is going to be a long journey. Not just, you know, now and next week I'll have it and I'm going to move on to something else. And so it, you know, it's interesting, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the book of Proverbs is divided into 31 chapters. Did that just happen by accident? I don't think so. That's one chapter per day for a month. What happens when you get through that with that month? You go back and start again the next month. And you're at least looking at something that's going to feed some wisdom to you over time. And that's just an observation. You know, another interesting thing, I'm just giving you a little few tidbits about the book of Proverbs. It is actually one of the poetical books of the Bible. Psalms is a poetical book, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and I think Job may be one of them. Anyway. There are several of them, and it means it's written in poetic style. To me, that's kind of interesting, and I don't want to put anybody to sleep talking about, you know, literature and that sort of thing, but the poetic style is interesting. It's written in what's called Hebraic or Hebrew parallelism. Now, I know I don't want you to go to sleep if I talk too much about that, but that's where you write a line or a verse, and you divide it into two parts. And the first part says the same thing as the second, but in different words. Or the second part says the opposite of it. Or the second part adds to the first part. And the whole book is written in that Hebrew parallelism. Well, you know, what difference does it make? You know, the Bible says that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs or parables or poems, and he wrote 1,005 songs. Solomon was a musician and a lyricist. Most of his writings and what he put together was in a lyrical, poetical form. You know, we don't stop and think about that. One of the wisest men who lived before Jesus came along, he wrote it in poems. And so the question that came up to me is, why would Solomon write a book of poems for his children to teach them wisdom? I hear the gears turning a little bit. They're starting to turn a little. Because poems are a way to memorize things. They stick with us. You know, and I'm not saying that these poems actually had rhyme. We talked about that last time. I don't think the Hebrew poems actually had rhyme, but they had rhythm and meter and those sorts of things, but they didn't really have much rhyme. But let me give you an example of how that works. Jack and Jill went up the hill to do what? Fetch a pail of water, huh? Jack fell down. Broke his crown. Jill came. It's amazing how we know all those silly nursery rhymes. They're just in there. This is a way to instill stuff within a person, a poetical way of doing it. Now, where did that come from? Some people say, and some sources say, that that refers to Louis XVI and his wife Marie Antoinette, who were convicted of treason and then beheaded. Yeah. Jack and Jill, they went up a hill to do what? To fetch a pail of water. Who goes up a hill to fetch a pail of water? Water settles down at the bottom of the hill. So you don't go to the top. So they did something very foolish. They said, Jack fell down and broke his what? Oh, he had a crown, huh? And Jill came. Was it Jill that came tumbling, or was it her head that came tumbling? Some of these, it says dark sources of nursery rhymes is on the website. You can find that. And so, is that really? Really? See, these things were written to commemorate something. How about Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men. That's right. Well, the source, you know, of this one says that the source of that, there was a cannon, there was a battle, and there was a cannon sitting on the wall, and the soldiers destroyed the wall, and the cannon came down and was destroyed. And so it was commemorating that event. What about Little Miss Muffet? Sat on a tuffet? What's a tuffet? Eating her curds and whey? Ugh. Along came a spider. Sat down beside her, scared Miss Muffet away. Anyway, I'm belaboring it, but I'm making the point that it's easy for children to remember these things. And so the Proverbs were written to Solomon's son and his children. And I made this observation one time that why didn't he just tell them? Why did he write a book? Here you go. Here's your book of wisdom. I would tell you this myself. But now they've got a book to keep and read over and over and listen to over and over. And you couldn't do that if you just spoke it one time. Anyway, the point I'm making is that these things remain in our memory, even if we don't know their origin. And the Proverbs were designed to do that, to stay with us for life, although the rhyme and the meter and the rhythm were lost in the translation. And I don't think Hebraic or Hebrew poems actually had rhyme in them. Not the way we know rhyme. Jack and Jill went up the hill, you know. Anyway, that's how the book was designed, and so there's no extra cost for that little tidbit of information. Okay. Now, so I want to say this up front. What I'm going to attempt to do today is to inspire us to go after some new things in our lives, to start some new journeys in our lives, to start some things we haven't done before, and to set some new goals for ourselves and go for some things the Lord intended us to pursue when He created us. You know, sometimes life is the biggest goal, surviving. You know, when you're younger, you got to work, you got kids, you got all this going on, you got all your hours used up, you have little time to pursue anything but survival. But as you get a little older, it gets a little easier in a lot of cases. And I'm not saying it always gets easier, but sometimes it does. You have more time. But see, by that time, people say, well, I'm too old to do it now. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, here we go. So, you know, that's going to be different for each individual because every individual was created differently with different purposes in their lives. And so, have we all accomplished everything that God intended us to accomplish in our lives? Okay, does anybody feel like you've done it all and accomplished everything? Raise your hand and we'll have a prayer line for liars. Praise God. Okay, and if God has more for me to do, I want to do it. How about you?
Yes.
Amen. Or do you think you're done?
No.
I don't think I'm done. So let's take a few verses just from the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. And we're going to look at some of these ideas. And in Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. So it says here that wisdom is the principal thing. What does that mean? It means it's the chief thing. It's the most important thing we can pursue in life. That's what the Bible says, that wisdom is the principal thing. And so, it's the most important thing, wisdom is. So then, because wisdom is the most important thing, then getting wisdom should at least be one of our goals. Amen? If it's the most important thing, then we ought to at least be making it a goal in our life to get it. As the Bible says, get wisdom. So we already know what one of our goals should be. And as I said, the pursuit of wisdom is an ongoing goal. You don't get it in a day or a week or a month. It's something that takes years to get. So it's something we need to be focusing on every day. And it reminds me of the scripture where Martha tried to get Jesus to stop Mary from hanging around and sitting at his feet. Remember that? You know, make Mary come and help me in the kitchen, you know. And Jesus said to Martha, there's one thing needful. There's only one important, necessary thing. And one necessary thing that's important, and Mary has chosen that good part. So, you know, it's an important thing, is all I'm saying there. There is one principal thing, one chief thing, one most important thing, and that's getting wisdom. Therefore, go after it and get it. Amen. Start today. And the last part of the verse says, and with all you're getting, get understanding. Now, Proverbs, Solomon is teaching his son how to obtain wisdom. And the Bible tells us that it's vitally important to get wisdom. It's the principal thing. So if we're not pursuing wisdom, then we should be. That ought to be our goal. But what he's saying here is getting wisdom and getting understanding are two different things. You can open up the book right here, and it's full of wisdom, the Bible. And especially the book of Proverbs, you can open it up and start reading right now, and you'll be getting wisdom. It's being put in there, but you don't get understanding immediately. See, that takes time. It takes some pondering and some meditating, some time to get understanding of what I'm reading. Understanding comes slowly, a nugget here and a nugget there. You know, I gave a little exhortation last week about wisdom being in the presence of God before the foundation of the world, rejoicing in his presence always. And daily I was his delight. The Lord just showed me that's what worship is about, us just delighting in the presence of God and him delighting in us. That's what rejoicing is about. Just a nugget here and a nugget there. So wisdom is not just obtained by reading a book. Let me go get a book on wisdom and read it, and then I'll have it. No, it doesn't work that way, because it says in chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, if you don't have reverence for God, you'll never get this wisdom that dwelt with him before the creation of the universe. See, we're talking about a wisdom that was with God before the creation. Anyway, getting too deep there. Let's move on here. Understanding, getting understanding is a long-term process. It comes gradually as we stay on the path of wisdom. But let me point out that that's true for anything we get in life. Anything we get in life, it happens that way. We have to incorporate the long-term value of time. The long-term value of time to get anything in life. Let me give you some examples. I can't lose 30 or 40 pounds in a day unless something very drastic happens, which we don't want, you know, that to happen. But I can, over a course of a year or two, I might be able to do that. In fact, the Lord impressed me back in May 20th. We had been quarantining. Is that what you call it? You know, hunkering down, they call it.
Sheltering,
stay at home, whatever. So to do it, to stay at home, one of the best ways to do that is go to the grocery store and buy you a bunch of goodies to eat. And so, you know, you're sitting there, oh, I love it. This is great. Next thing you know, you know, and you're sitting there and your shirts don't fit you anymore. And I'm thinking, oh, man. Some things do happen fast. You think it's gradual, but boom, 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 there it is, you know. And so near the end of that, I said, something's got to happen here, you know. Something's got to happen. And so the Lord impressed me. I got this from the Lord that all that sugary stuff you're eating, all those sugary things like cakes, pies, and ice cream, and cookies, and all that kind of stuff, you're poisoning your body with that. That's what the Lord showed me. He showed me what happens when you do that. Well, first of all, you get bigger and bigger. Second of all, you got heart problems. Third, you know, diabetes, all this sort of thing that comes. He said, you're poisoning your system with that. So on May 20th, I said, okay, no more. That's it for me. No more sugary things like desserts, cakes, candy, pies, ice cream. Sorry, I mean, I know that's radical, and don't talk about it. I know that's radical, but that's something the Lord spoke to me out of the midst of that. We were just, Jenny and I both, we said, well, we got to do something here. And so, anyhow. And where were we anyway? Let's move right along. I can't lose 30 or 40 pounds, but over a couple of years, if I stop eating the wrong stuff, I could probably, you know, lose a few pounds here and there. Anyway, moving right along. I can't pay for a new car today, but over a few years, I could pay whatever it costs. Like 6 or 7 years, if you buy it on credit, 5 or 6 years. I can't pay for a new house today, but over 40 years, a mortgage could be paid 30 or 40 years. I'm talking about the long-term value of time. You can do things over time that you can't do in a short period, like in a day or an hour or a week. And so we do understand these things. They're just simply a part of life. Everybody knows this stuff. But when we do understand the power of time, we can adapt more of a long-term focus. I haven't got to get this right now, or I haven't got to accomplish this right now, but over time I will, if I do a little each day, a little each month, whatever. This applies to getting wisdom, getting understanding, and growing spiritually. But it also applies to anything else in life. That's what I'm trying to say here. It applies to any goal we might set for ourselves. And getting wisdom is not the only goal in a person's life. There are other goals. Anyway, we'll move on to that in a minute. Talk more about that. See, what I'm saying is the goals we set for ourselves could take some time to accomplish. We can set goals for ourselves. You're going to be somewhere doing something for the next ever how many years. Why don't you accomplish something during that time? Unless you're planning on leaving next week. And I don't think any of us are ready to leave that quickly, you know, so praise God. We're going to be doing something. We're going to be somewhere doing something. We have the opportunity to accomplish some things in that time, unless we're that far over the hill and we don't ever expect to do anything else. Anyway, I'm just showing you the two extremes there. In Proverbs chapter 4, we're still in chapter 4, verse 11, Solomon says this to his son, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. It's important to look up words. I don't know if anybody studies and meditates. You got to have a good concordance. You can go online and the concordance is built right in. You just click the word and it opens up the meaning. It used to be hard to study using a concordance. This concordance is about this big and about that thick. And you had, well, anyway, if you remember using those old concordances, man, I'm telling you, it was a laborious thing. But now, well, online, you can just click a number. Whoop, it opens right up for you. Wow. Some of you folks don't realize how blessed you are. We used to have to do it the old-fashioned way. What did you say, Tim? Did you say something? The print was so small, I mean, you had to have, you know, a magnifying glass to read it. But anyway, it's important to look up words. The word taught here, it comes from a Hebrew word that means to throw, to cast, to shoot, as an archer shoots an arrow. Now, what does that mean when he says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom? He's saying, I've pointed out the way. I've shown you the direction. And that's all any teacher can do to it for a student is give them the direction, kind of point the way they ought to go. Either a student learns it themselves or they don't learn it. A teacher cannot make somebody learn something. The student learns. Well, he says, I've pointed out the direction. I haven't taken you there, but merely pointed out the way to get there. I'm telling you how to get to wisdom. Now, son, you go after it. And so it's the same thing a teacher does. And let me just give you an example of what I'm getting at here. Let's say, for example, you want to go to New York City. And so I point the direction to you. I say, well, you go to Roanoke, and you probably get on Interstate 81 and head north. That's where you might start at. And you get up a certain way, and you turn somewhere else. And so you get in your car, and you head to Roanoke, and you get on Interstate 81. Are you in New York City? No, I've pointed the way for you to get there, but you have to make the journey. You can head up the road, and you, if you make the journey, you'll get to New York City eventually. But what if on the way to New York City, you think, gee, man, I've never been to Kansas City. I think I'll just take a left here and head and go see Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Got some crazy little women and all that stuff. But anyway, that's an old song for you folks who don't know what I'm talking about. Got some crazy little women. Anyway, we're not going to go back there. A lot of you remember, and I've heard that song. But anyhow, so you head to Kansas City. And the next thing you know, you're on your way to Kansas City, and you're halfway there. You say, you know, I've never been to Disney World. I think I'll go to Disney World. So you take a left and head for Orlando. And then you might get to Orlando unless you say, gee, I haven't been to so-and-so before, you know. You may eventually arrive somewhere. The point I'm trying to make is if you're moving towards something, you can get distracted. This is the most distracted world that there's ever been. There are more distractions in this world than you can shake a stick at. Let me see where I'm at in my note here. Anyway, you see, there's an inherent ability within us to become distracted. It's the easiest thing in the world for people to become distracted. Somebody will throw an ad up here. Blink, 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 blink. Oh, that. Oh, I need that. Oh, well, I'll come back to this later. Whoop. And you're off to Kansas City. And on the way to Kansas City, something else blinks and you go another direction. And you never end up. See, to accomplish new things and to be more, what was the word, over time, long-term minded, you've got to learn to deal with distractions. Amen. That has to be another of your goals. How do I learn to deal with distractions? How can I do less of the distracting stuff and stay more on the focus to do something long-term stuff? I'm laying a foundation here. We'll talk about some more specifics in a minute. And so we need to have long-term tenacity if we're ever going to accomplish anything, whether it's something spiritual or something in the natural. It takes it either way. So Solomon said, I pointed out the way, now you travel the journey and don't get sidetracked. Yeah. Why am I saying this? Because this principle is true whether you're pursuing wisdom or any other goal in your life. It has to do with the inherent ability to be distracted, which we'll talk about more. And in verse 20 of chapter 4, it says that Solomon is still talking. He says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." Now, there's a lot right there that you could say about that. But he's talking about the pursuit of wisdom. My son, I want you to get wisdom. Here's how you do it. He says, pay close attention to my words. Bend your ear toward them. Keep them in front of you and keep them in the midst of your heart. And we're going to look at that word heart in a minute because it's an amazing word. Keep them in the midst of your inner meditations. That's what the heart is talking about, your heart. Because if you do that, you're going to understand those words. You're going to discover what they mean, and it's going to be life and health to you. You're going to reach your destination if you'll just do these things over time and not get distracted. If you'll focus on this, you're going to arrive. You're going to get this wisdom, and it's going to be life and health to you. And remember, he wrote down a permanent record of this for his son to have. These proverbs are a permanent record of the wisdom of Solomon that he gave his son to ponder and meditate over and over, over time. And so, let's look at verse 23. This is one I really wanted to get to. And then there's another couple of verses, and we'll be done, but Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." This is a great scripture, and I never really understood what it meant until I was meditating in it just recently. We got to understand what the words mean here before we can understand what he's saying. He says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." Now, that's fairly straightforward. You know, it means to guard, protect, to watch over, keep. Keep. But the word heart is worth taking a very close look at. It comes from a word that means, and I think the word is L-E-B, leb, the Hebrew word leb, which is pronounced lab, L-A-B-E. It means the inner man, the mind, the will, the heart, the understanding. It means knowledge, thinking, and reflection. One word in its definition caught my attention was it means to consider or have consideration of something, to inwardly consider something, to reflect upon, to think about. The heart that this word refers to is not the physical heart. It's the inner place of pondering and reflection. The place where we inwardly consider things. And I've got a note here, pause for reflection. It's the inner place of pondering and reflection. That's what the Bible refers to as your heart. The inner place of pondering and reflection. The place where we inwardly consider things. And that's what the heart is. And it says to keep it, to guard it, to protect it, what? Your inner reflections and ponderings. Preserve it with all diligence. Here's another intriguing word if you're a word looker-upper. The word diligence does not mean what you think it means. In other words, very vigorously and with very much intent, diligence. This word right here, diligence, it's defined in the Strong's Concordance as a place of confinement, a prison, a guard, a jail, a ward, a guard post. That's a whole different thing than I thought diligent meant. A place of confinement, a prison. What's he saying? He's saying guard your inner ponderings and considerations, that which you inwardly think about, like a prison keeper guards over an inmate. In other words, you maintain complete control over what you allow yourself to think about and how you think about those things. And here's where it gets really good. Now, hang with me for a minute. We're getting somewhere with this. this word issues, for out of it, out of your heart, out of your inner meditations and ponderings, are the issues of life. And that word issues is a little blind to us. What does that mean, the issues of life? Well, it's really very easy once you look up the meaning of the word. It means the outgoing, the border, the going out, the extremity, the end, the boundary. The issues, the boundary. Look how this word is used in Joshua 15:11. It's used 4, 5, 6 times in this one verse, translated in different ways. When he was dividing up the promised land to Israel, Joshua 15:11 says, "And the border went out under the side of Ekron northward, and the border was drawn to Sikron and passed along to Mount Bala and went out. And the goings out of the border were at the sea." He's talking about the boundary of the land that he divided up. Here's the boundary. This is the going out, the issues, the going forth, the border. So the word issues here, to simplify that, just means borders or boundaries. I would have never thought that, but that's what it means, borders or boundaries. So let's look at the verse in light of that definition. Guard your inner ponderings and considerations, that which you inwardly think about, like a prison keeper guards over an inmate. For out of your inner considerations and ponderings are the boundaries of your life set. Now, Selah. Your inner boundaries, your boundaries of your life are set. We set the boundaries of our life based on what we think about and how we think about them. We are the ones who self-limit ourselves on what we can do and what we can accomplish. Hang in there. Hang in there. We're going somewhere. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The way you think in your heart. I was watching a TV show recently. I mentioned it when I talked about this before. A show called, a series called Alone. Anybody ever watched that program? It's a kind of a reality TV show of these guys who are challenged to go out into the Arctic tundra and stay over time in a tent. And these are all people who are skilled in survival skills, survivalist type reality show. And so you have men and women who go out. Each one of them are alone. And they're out in the tundra, and it's fall, and it's turning winter. It's getting cold. And then the snow comes, and the lake freezes over, and they're, whew. Anyway, and over time, one will give up here, one will break a leg or something and have to leave. And, you know, there's 10 of them to start with. The one who's left wins $500,000. So they may have to stay 2 or 3 months, all even through the dead of winter, you know, with bears and everything else. And anyway, one of them made, they all are kind of narrating their own little journey, what they did that day. And one of them made the statement as he was talking and said, most of the limitations that people have on their lives are self-imposed. Most of the limitations people have on their lives are self-imposed. And I thought, well, that's amazing. That's an amazing statement for a guy out there, you know, trying to make it through the tundra for 3 months or whatever. It just, because I was studying this stuff and thinking about it, how we limit our own self in a lot of ways. You know, have you ever said to somebody, you know, you ought to do this. This is what you ought to do. And the first response is, I can't do that. Well, how do you know? I just know. Well, you can't. You can't do it. If that's your first response, then you're defeated right there. Never even tried. What if the Lord said something for you to do that you didn't think you could do? The Bible talks about us doing things that we can't do. When I'm weak, I'm strong. That's what Paul ran into. He says, I glory in infirmities because when I'm the weakest, that's when God is strong in my life. When I'm the least able to do, then that's when God's strong. That's another whole level. But anyway, self-imposing of limits on our life. Something to think about a little bit. So, you know, if the Lord says to you, I want you to do something, And the first thing, remember Moses? Remember Moses? I want you to go down and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. Oh, Lord, wait a minute. What was his first response? I can't talk. I can't do that. I can't talk. And even after I've met you today, I still can't talk. You know, how am I going to go tell Pharaoh? And God finally got mad at him. He said the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And that's not something you want to happen.
Right.
So, anyway, he says, I'm not good at speaking. I never was, and I'm not any good at it now, even after I met you. Could you please send somebody else? No, you're the one I want to do it, and you're the one who is able to do it.
Right.
Because I've made you able, and I've raised you up for this hour to do this. And he was still scared. Well, I mean, we're the same way. He was the same type of person we are. I'm sharing this message with the presumption that everyone within the sound of my voice was created with a purpose. Anybody out there who was created for a purpose, who believes that? Amen. And the Lord wants to lead us into things we possibly haven't done before. And so to fulfill that purpose that he has within us. Unless we've already done it, unless we've already fulfilled it. I don't think I have. Maybe some of you guys have. I don't believe you feel that way, really. Do you know, here's another side thought about obstacles. As long as you're sitting still, you won't run into any obstacles.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You won't have any obstacles until you start a journey. And part of the fun of the journey is overcoming the obstacles as you go. That's the way a journey works. That's the fun of it. That's what makes it exciting. Now, in verse 25, we're still in chapter 4 of Proverbs. Verse 25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, that's you say, what is that talking about? Let your eyes look right on. What does that mean? Well, if you look it up, the phrase right on comes from a word which means to look straight in front of you. That's what it means. Look, it doesn't mean like right on, dude. No, it means look straight ahead. We've changed the English language so much, you know, over the years that it's good to look up words. We think a word means this, but actually it means something different because the last generation changed it or this generation changed it. And by the way, just a side thought, let me ramble a second here. There's a scripture that Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says there's no new thing under the sun. For what has happened before, you know, what happened now has already happened before. You know, we think we live in a new generation that just discovered the world and nobody ever had any understanding of it before now. No, that's ridiculous. Most of the stuff we talk about and think about and comes across our lives has already happened many times before. We just don't remember it. We need people like Dave Pendleton to remind us of it. History buff over there, praise God. Anyway, let your eyelids look straight before you means to look straight ahead or directly in front of you. So why would the Bible tell us to look toward the front? Because there's so many distractions on the right and left. Keep your focus there. Don't look over here. Don't look over there. You're going there. And so it's interesting that the Lord would tell us, you know, not to be distracted. And so here's the point. The things we are distracted by are the things that prevent us from accomplishing the important things, the things the Lord intended for us to accomplish in our lives. We are a distracted generation. There are distractions coming at us all the time. Did anybody ever get on Facebook? Anybody, you know, get on YouTube? Anybody ever? You know, you can go for 2-3 hours and think you've done something, but you've done nothing. Because you've been distracted. Or even TV. The TV series are amazing these days. You know, they're a lot better than they used to be. They really got that thing going on. They're distractions. So we need to learn how to stop being so easily distracted. We need to take that thing and say, no, I'm not going to be one who is easily distracted. And learn how not to. That ought to be one of our ongoing goals, to learn how to stop being distracted. Or it'll be impossible to accomplish anything else. We just live on a merry-go-round of distraction. Well, I meant to do this today, but I got distracted. Anybody ever said that? See, well, that just makes us an easy target for failure. If we're easy to be distracted, we're an easy target for failure. If you can't take control of distractions in your life, then that's what's going to happen. They rob us of what God has for our lives. We can't stay focused long enough to accomplish what we're supposed to. And, yeah, here we go, Proverbs 4:26, the title of this message. Here's the scripture we wanted to get to. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I've read these scriptures many times before, but the Lord just kind of opened the understanding of what they mean to me this last time in this year that I read this. What does it mean to ponder the path of your feet? Does it maybe mean take a look at where you're going? Where are my feet headed right now? Are they headed anywhere? Am I just walking? Or am I just standing still? Ponder the path of your feet. Could it mean decide where you want to go? Make a decision as to where you want to go. I believe it does mean that. Is your path going anywhere in particular? Maybe not. Maybe we're just idling. Maybe we're just drifting. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about where you're going. Are you on some path that leads somewhere in particular? This is a good question to ask ourselves. Or are you just drifting along, just going with the proverbial flow? I'm just going to go with the flow, brother. I think these statements came out in the 60s when I was like a teenager. And open-minded. Open your mind, brother. Open your mind to a land inside of your mind. Did you know, take a journey to the land inside of your mind. Did you know that one of the words in Proverbs is the word foolish or fool? A fool is one who is quarrelsome. A fool is one who is a mocker, licentious. And it says also foolish means open-minded. I said, open-minded? Is that what a foolish means? Open-minded? Open to just receive anything? We were changed in the way we were thinking because we open our minds to receive garbage. We open our minds to receive ridiculousness. And then it caught on, and that makes sense, you know. But anyway, where were we anyhow, okay? Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. This is good right here. Perk up, listen to this. What does it mean to let your ways be established? He means to ponder the path of your feet, determine where you're going, and let the steps to get there be firmed up in your thinking. Establish your ways. You can't get somewhere unless you know where you're going. There's no way to get there. You can't know what the steps are. If we know where we're going, then it's easy to determine what the steps are to get there. If we don't know where we're going, it's impossible to know the steps needed to get there. What are the steps between here and nowhere? You just can't picture it. But if you ponder the path of your feet and you know where you're going, then you can figure out the steps to get there. Maybe not all the steps, but the steps I need to make today. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, God gives us a few steps at a time. You know, He'll lead us. He may not give us the whole picture, but He'll give us the steps for today. And so we don't want to just drift through life and never arrive anywhere in particular. See, I think as you get older, you think, well, it's time to retire and just, you know, sit in the rocking chair on the porch, you know, think about the old days. Back when the kids were growing up. And that's already arrived at nowhere. Is that the end? Is that the end of what we're doing? No. I think that whole idea of retirement, I don't think the Lord ever had that in his plan. Okay, let me just wrap this up very quickly by telling you how I got this message. See, it has to do with one of my own personal goals, and that is to learn how to mix audio recordings and produce my own original songs, be able to record the original songs God has given me, make a presentable recording of them. And I've been dabbling in that for the last couple of years, but much more seriously in the last 8 months or so, since a little bit before Christmas of last year. And when I was studying the book of Proverbs earlier this year, I came across these scriptures in Proverbs 4, and they began to speak to me. And one of my personal goals is, of course, the pursuit of wisdom. The Bible says it's the principal thing, so it ought to be one of our ongoing goals. And I haven't arrived at that destination yet. I mean, I haven't got to New York City yet, you might say. But I'm keeping my focus on it in that direction anyway. I'm on the road that leads there. I'm traveling the road every single day for that wisdom thing. And these verses that I just read in Proverbs give me direction on how to achieve that. But they also give me insight on how to accomplish anything else in my life. They don't just work for obtaining wisdom. They work for obtaining anything. Now, you might ask why I would pursue such a goal as learning how to make good audio recordings. Well, it's because it's part of what the Lord has always had for my life. I mean, it's part of what God... I was a musician from... Well, I really got serious about music when I was about 12 years old. When I was 13, I had my first rock band. I was in eighth grade in high school, and we practiced in the Drew Mason cafeteria, playing Wipeout. Had a drummer who had a snare drum. And we could tear up Wipeout, man. We could do it. And a piano player, Joe Merriman, bless his heart. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But anyway... And when I was 15 years old, I recorded my first record at Arthur Smith Studio down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And then I was shocked later on when I heard my recording, found out I sounded like Arthur Smith. Anybody remember Arthur Smith? He talked with a real Southern accent, you know. And I said, oh my goodness, I sound like Arthur Smith. Anyway, music was part of my life from the time I was very young. And so it's safe to say that it's something the Lord had for my life. And... you know, I think we can all kind of get an idea of some of the things the Lord had for our lives if we look at our childhood. What was I interested in? What did I love to do as a kid? What really drew my attention? You know, what did I have a skill for, a talent for, you know? And so it's different for you than it is for me. There may be some similarities. What moved me as a young person? What did I have a desire to do? What was I naturally inclined towards? What skills and talents did I have? See, we need to be sensitive to these things in our children. What if your child says, you know, Dad, all I want to do is work on pipes. I want to be a plumber. Man, I love it. That's all I can think about is working on pipes. No, son, you're going to be a doctor. But, Dad, sometimes you need to look and see what your child he likes. God will tell a child what they like. The Bible says, what is it? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Who do you think put those desires there? From the beginning, they were there. They were created in you. So anyway, somebody might say, well, I'm just too old to pursue those things now. Mm-mm, watch out. Woo-hoo, whoop, whoop. Warning, Will Robinson. Anyway, oh, sorry, I'm going back to these things. Some people might even know what I'm talking about here. danger, Will Robinson. Yeah. Well, are you really too old? Are you too old to pursue the things God created you to do? Are you ever too old to do that? To pursue what God made you for? Well, no, Lord, I'm too old now. Well, I didn't say that you were too old. So, I don't think we ever get too old for that. So I was inspired to go by these verses, to go for it, to put some serious effort into pursuing what the Lord had put on my heart. And it takes a long time. It takes a long time, a lot of studying to do what I'm doing is learning this. This week, actually, I came to another level that I didn't even know existed in that area. And that was making a digital recording sound like it was recorded on an analog tape machine. They have ways of doing that where you can make the new digital record sound like the 60s and 70s when the Beatles did it, you know, out of Abbey Road. Saturating. They have actually plug-ins that are tape machines, and it's there and the tape's running, you know, and it makes it sound like it was recorded through an old-timey tape machine. Which is because even though they've got the digital stuff now, it doesn't sound as good as the old-timey analog stuff with head tubes in it. And so now they emulate or make what you do now sound like it was recorded back in the 60s and 70s. They converted. It's amazing. So what I did, I started a notebook called Ponder the Path of Thy Feet. This is one of them right here, and I've not quite filled that one up. But what I do with this, I sit down every day and say, Lord, what do I need to do today? Where am I going and what do I need to do? And so then I'll pray about it, and the Lord will say, well, you need to learn this, you need to study this, you need to get familiar with this area. And so I'll have two or three things. And so I start studying, I go, and I start writing it down in here, soloing and muting in Studio One. Oh, let's see. Loop back, test, and record. I forget it. You don't even want to know about that, believe me. But what I'm saying is, I know where I'm going. I'm going to get this knowledge, but where am I going today? What steps am I going to take? I'm letting my steps be established, letting my ways be established. By what? Pondering the path of my feet. Where am I now? Where am I going? What are the steps to get there? At least the steps for today. It may take me 3 or 4 years to get there, but I'm going to be somewhere doing something. Why not, you know, why not use the long-term value of time to accomplish something? And that's going to be different for every person in this room. And I'm just giving you my example to show you what I'm talking about. So, look at the things you were interested in as a child. Did you accomplish those things? Or did you get sidetracked by life, like I did? You know, we all get sidetracked because life suddenly is upon you. Marriage and kids and, you know, career and making it from day to day, you know, that takes up a lot of your life. Did we get sidetracked and forget, you know, and we leave these earlier dreams by the wayside? So I just want to encourage everybody to stir yourself up and think, you know, what do I want to do? What would God have me to do? And even pray about it. Lord, what will you have me to do in my life? What do you want me to pursue, Lord? And then start setting that focus, that zeroed in focus that is not distracted by other things. Start shutting out the distractions of our life that you can shut out. Don't get me wrong. You can't shut out every distraction. Some of them are there and they need to be there. But anyhow, that's basically what I wanted to share with you today. Amen. Could we pray together maybe about this? Let's give the Lord a praise. Could we? I see it almost started there. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. We thank you, O God, for your divine inspiration, Lord. We ask for divine inspiration within each heart today, Lord. We ask you to inspire us and quicken us, Lord. Lord, we just ask you that you would help us to think about these things, that you would lead us and guide us in our thinking, Lord, to know what you would have us to do. We ask for direction, Lord. Your word says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given unto him. So, Lord, right now we ask you to give us wisdom about these things. We believe we receive it from you, Father, and we thank you for impressing our hearts with what you would have us to do in the days and years to come, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for clear direction for each life today. In the name of Jesus, amen.